Yeah, so we stopped with when we were talking about people who were doing this finger tapping exercise, and there was a subset of people who kept tapping on this wooden box to get the light bulb to go on, and they persisted forever. Well, you look at it and you think, well, that seems kind of stupid. Why would you do that? Well, I give a real-life example in the book, and this happened probably almost 20 years ago, before we had smartphones. I had my first, cell phone, a flip phone, and there were still telephone books. But I was just, in the Chicago O'Hare Airport, and I've got to get to Grand Rapids the next morning. I've got an 8 a.m. Appointment, and I'm looking out the window, and there's no airplane. And so I walk up to the desk, and we're supposed to be taking off in about 10 minutes. There's no airplane. I walk up to the gate counter. I stand in line, and he gets on the announcement and says, flight number such and such for Grand Rapids has been canceled. Come to the ticket counter for rebooking and hotel accommodations. There are further flights leaving tonight, but all are overbooked. And so I'm like third in line, and the first guy says, book me on the next flight out. He says, they're already oversold by 7. And he said, I'll take it. And so he's 7 for standby. And the woman in front of me says, I'll take it. And she's 8 for standby. And he looks at me and says, dude, get a hotel. And I said, give me 9 for standby. And so then I start getting on the phone and thinking, okay, I got to get to Grand Rapids. So I start calling rental car companies. No cars. I mean, I call Avis. I call Hertz. I actually called Rent-A-Wreck. And I couldn't get a car to Grand Rapids. And I think, well, I've only got to get, I only need 4 wheels, And so I start calling trucking companies to see if I can rent a panel van. And then eventually I'm getting to the point where I think, well, maybe I can call U-Haul and I can get a bunch of us. And I have this vision of me in the back of a U-Haul with a polka band, those of you who've watched Home Alone. And then I think, I start calling limo companies, and my battery is going out, and all of this time I'm thinking, everyone else in line has gotten their rebooking and hotel accommodations. They're back in the hotel. They're having their warm cookie. They're watching HBO, and I'm still dialing to get out of Chicago, and I can't. And finally I'm about to give up, and I walk up to the ticket counter. Everybody has been rebooked. Everybody has gone to the hotel, and a new gate agent comes on. And I say, this guy's been telling me there's no way I'm getting out of Chicago tonight on the next flight. Is there any way I can get out of here? And he goes, well, let me check. And he clicks it, clicks it, clicks it, and he goes, I guarantee you'll be on the next flight. And I said, I'm like 8. One of the people quit and went to the hotel. And I said, well, I'm 8 for standby. And he says, well, there are 3 flights coming in, all delayed, so there are 25 people who will not make this flight. I guarantee you will get on this flight. And so here's the illusion of control. What did I do? I tried all of these things to put this getting to Grand Rapids in my control, none of which worked. But the illusion of control kept me in the game long enough that I could take advantage of when the rules changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the illusion of control is helpful, because it keeps you persistent and it keeps you in the game long enough to take advantage of changes. All those people who are eating their warm cookie and watching HBO had no chance to get on that flight, but because I stuck around and tried, even though I had no control, it kept me in a spot that I could then take advantage of the change.